This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Got a really good look, won't drop in for him.
Grabbing
at his left ankle area as he went down after the rebound. Oh my. Gets up and needs help.
But the bigger concern is an injury situation, not just to Malik Brown, who looked to have re-injured maybe his left shoulder. Back here in Charlotte, and moments ago, Cooper Flagg in a wheelchair here at the Spectrum Center after leaving the game with a left ankle injury late in this first half.
Welcome back. It's Mullin Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mark Grody's in today. That was news from the ACC Network, I believe, of Cooper Flagg's injury in the ACC tournament. The Duke superstar, freshman, teenager, phenom. And not good. Mark Grody.
Worst case scenario, really. I mean, a lot of us, I'm talking about me, have really been looking forward, and he could play still, have been really looking forward to tournament time, whether it's ACC or NCAA, to see and watch as much of Cooper Flagg as possible.
Well, let's talk about tournament time. We're chock full of tournament news. Last night, let's recap before we get to the big pictures.
Yes.
Topic we're going to discuss with Cooper Flagg. But last night, DePaul loses in double overtime to Creighton in the Big East tournament. Great game. Great game. Zach Zabum was there. This sounded like you were excited watching it as Zach was talking about it and calling it.
Center pass now to Blocker. The Tucker timeline off to the left. Blocker hands off to Rivera at the head of the key. Off three on the way. Short rebound Thomas. Back to Rivera. Top key three. No good. And the Demon season is over. A heartbreaking loss in double overtime as Creighton advances, beating DePaul 85-81.
That was tough because DePaul was up at 1.17 points. Mark Grody, for a moment there, you thought you were stuck in 1983. You were watching DePaul instead of the Bulls.
I was nervous. It felt good, though. I felt it was an awkward feeling for me after a long day of Bears and getting all my stuff done, and then I'm watching DePaul, and I felt, for the first time since maybe the 90s, literally, I felt nervous excitement watching DePaul. Like, it was too much for me. They blow a 17-point lead, yes, but it's pretty incredible that DePaul was able to get this to the second overtime. They were down 72-64 in the first overtime with a minute 30 left with Creighton in the midst of a 19-2 run, and they made it into the second overtime. And even the second overtime, it looked like they were dead in the water, down 81-76 late in the game, and then got it back down to 2 points with 9 seconds to go. So it was, just from an objective standpoint, a really entertaining college basketball game.
Looks like Chris Holtmann has things going there. Maybe in a couple years we'll be talking about them and where they will be seated on Selection Sunday. It looks like they have been trying a long time to get to where maybe Chris Holtmann has them headed. So that's the Big East tournament. The DePaul season is over. They won 14 games, 11 more than last season, so that's progress in the making in Lincoln Park. Big Ten. Northwestern exits yesterday, 73-60 losers to Wisconsin. Not a huge surprise. Chris Collins will face speculation now. We'll get to that in a moment. Indiana job is open. His name has been on a list. Illinois romps over Iowa, 106-94. Illini are rolling.
They play Maryland today.
They play Maryland?
Yeah, they play Maryland.
The Terps?
The Terps.
Who you like?
I hate to say it. I like the Terps.
You like the Terps?
I like the Terps. I love my Illini. They're my second favorite college basketball team. 106 points, man.
They got it going.
They do. They're going to be an interesting team in the tournament. One that they're the only local that's going to be in the NCAA tournament.
Well, Loyola
this year
plays in the A-10 tournament today. They get the double bye. I don't see them going unless they win this tournament.
Right.
I don't think that they can get past VCU.
So it's Illini and Illini only.
Probably.
Northwestern, NIT.
Northwestern, they turn on the NIT. They're banged up and beaten. So I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay.
Yeah, I know you don't count Purdue because they're not really local. We pay attention to them.
We do, absolutely. Yeah, I'll give Purdue a little bit of love. Give the Big Ten love.
Indiana being eliminated by Oregon?
Oh,
boy,
man.
That's something else. Mike Woodson, his last game as a Hoosier head coach, 72-59 losers. So today you got in the Big Ten tournament in Indy, Michigan State, Oregon, UCLA, Wisconsin, go Badgers, Maryland, Illinois, go Illini, and Purdue, Michigan, go
Purdue. Come on,
okay,
man.
I like Dusty May.
But wait a minute. You just said, like, we're covering Purdue.
I said that Purdue is kind of – there's a lot of Purdue fans. There's a lot of Michigan fans in
Chicago,
too. Is
this Chicago's Big Ten team? Is Purdue now? Is that what you just did for us?
No, I didn't. I didn't do that.
An Indiana boy.
Yeah. I think that's what – I think you're getting a little carried away now.
Okay, that's a little carried away.
Are the Colts the second team in Chicago? Is that
better than the Packers.
Yeah, that's true.
Better than the Packers.
The Colts are our friends. They don't affect us really in any way.
Selection Sunday is a big deal in Indiana on Sunday. It's a big deal in Chicago on Sunday.
It's fun.
Get your college basketball discounts. Put it in there. Load up. Download all of your information.
I've had an attitude change too about college basketball. I've been the one who always poo-poos and say, the Big Ten, I mean, the NCAA tournament is overrated and, you know, people make such a big deal. I've changed on it. I'm looking forward to just being entertained. Maybe it's because the Bears have just been so exhausting from the 10-game losing streak. I want to sit back and learn about the NCAA tournament and watch college basketball. I'm looking forward to
it. This is Clark Kellogg's time of the year.
It is Clark Kellogg's time of the year.
Outstanding.
He's so smooth.
I always look forward to King Clark Kellogg.
I do too.
Who else do you look forward to hearing from?
Well, honestly, you know, I'll tell you a guy that I always looked forward to was Greg Gumbel.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be missing Greg Gumbel. You're
gonna be missing Greg Gumbel.
Yeah, Greg Gumbel was never a guy who I was like put in my top five of broadcasters by any means.
But you saw him and you thought March Madness.
I did, and there was such a comfort with him at the table. So he's a guy that I will miss.
He didn't host the Selection Sunday show as much as he presided over it.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, Gus Johnson. We had Gus Johnson on DePaul.
Gus Johnson and the ref.
Oh, that was
big ref.
That was Gus Johnson.
That was a big moment.
The referee saying something like,
"Hey, man."
He's like, "We could have five or six overtimes." And Gus Johnson's like, "I can't have that. I gotta go to the bathroom, man."
How about that? He admitted it on the air. My daughter and I were talking. He's like, "I gotta go to the John. I don't have time to get to the John."
Nobody reacted. I wondered if that was an uncomfortable moment.
It was funny though.
That's a comfortable broadcaster.
Funny. Yes.
Yeah. Who's like, I don't have time for all these.
You know why? Who expected DePaul to be going into double overtime with Creighton?
Right. They probably had
not
that.
Not even Gus Johnson or his bladder.
And I will say, man, because I'm just watching as a fan here, it did feel like they were guiding Creighton a lot more than DePaul. Like, they were just more prepared for a Creighton win throughout the broadcast and the information that they had. So, give my DePaul Blue Demons a little more love next time, Gus. Well, the bathroom can wait.
Well, Gus just didn't expect that. Do you think that Raf expected that?
No. I mean, why would they expect that? Did you expect it?
No, I did not.
Nobody. I thought Georgetown was going to be there for fun win, and then that's it.
But Greg McDermott, by the way, coach of Creighton, also a candidate at Indiana.
Okay.
The guy has been a source of speculation.
I like the Weds. I watched his post game last night. That obviously this is a guy who knows what
who
he's doing for a long time.
Who else is on that list, David? That short list of Indiana.
Haw thinks it's a top two job in the country,
I didn't say top two.
I was just about to ask you, did Indiana lose its luster a little bit?
Yes, it did.
It used to be one of the top schools.
Wait a minute. When I said that earlier, you said no.
I said lost its luster. I think it's lost its luster because you're seeing where it is. I think the question was in the context, can it be a top five job again? And I said it can be a top 10 job again.
Okay.
I think you can make it, because what do you want when you're looking for a job like that?
Cooper Flagg. That's what you want when you're looking for a job like that.
You want a place where you can have a fan base that's passionate. You want a place that's going to be committed to basketball. You want it committed to good facilities and a place where it's, basketball is king.
Mm-hmm. See, that's where I was going to go, David. Now, there's been a little bit of a pivot, right? Indiana, your guy, the SIG, right? He has got Indiana back, football back on the map. They played Notre Dame in the Snow Bowl.
Cignetti, yeah, I mean, congratulations. He's got an eight-year contract.
But my point is,
it's football in Indiana.
Do you want to go to a school that's a basketball school as opposed to one that's both? And now we're seeing, like, Auburn and Alabama. We talked about that earlier this year on this program. The fact that the SEC and Alabama-Auburn at one point was playing on a Saturday afternoon, one versus two, and it was college basketball, not college football.
I think when you go, it's a great point. It's a great question. I think you want to go as a basketball coach to a program that is healthy and robust and committed, that also has a football program that's going to bring a lot of positive attention to your university. You can use it as a recruiting tool. You want it to be a lively environment. You want it to be a place where college sports matter to the student body, to the two alums, a place where there's going to be a buzz on Saturday afternoon and not be like, oh, no, that's the football stadium.
But will it be a buzz now with basketball, too? Because the reports, when they first had the job opening, they was talking about the big name was Brad Stevens. And now it went all the way down, no disrespect, because I like him. I want him to stay at Northwestern, to now Chris Collins. So is that like a – are Indiana fans going to be excited about that, or does it not matter unless you get wins?
Well, Brad Stevens would make any fan base excited, yeah. But it was wildly unrealistic. And I think sometimes if Indiana, the fan base, and I can criticize because I'm a native Hoosier – they get crazy and wildly unrealistic about what they're capable of achieving and lure getting and attracting. Brad Stevens was never going to come to Bloomington. Why would you? He's on a Hall of Fame trajectory as the executive of the Boston Celtics.
Right.
Why would you take...
No, it doesn't make sense to me. I mean, like, especially since Brad Stevens was a coach, he didn't want to really be a coach anymore, so he went upstairs, so he's an exec. So, yeah, that would be wild unless he just wanted back in on the action.
But that doesn't make it a bad job. It doesn't make it a bad job because Brad Stevens did what any reasonable person would do.
I think any job in the Big Ten is a good job. I think what we're talking about is that there was a time, and this is Bobby Knight era, where Indiana was a top five gig, maybe even a top two or three gig.
Yeah.
It's not that anymore. But I think to some degree, like the – college basketball is better off with Indiana being good.
It's kind of like college football in Notre Dame.
It is, right. It just feels right. Just because what you're saying, because Indiana is basketball and vice versa. So it's almost, God, I keep wanting to use the terminology sleeping giant, but that's not really, that's probably not really fair. But in terms of being back in as an elite team in the country, they are sleeping giant.
I'll give you some names, all right? The names that you eliminated, Brad Stevens and obviously Dusty May, because he's the guy that was a manager at Indiana, signed a contract extension, maybe use that to get more security at Michigan. But Dustin wanted names. I'll give you names. So you have Chris Beard, used to be Texas Tech. Okay. He's at Ole Miss now.
Old Beard.
He's got a connection to Indiana. He's respected, but he also has some baggage they would bring to Bloomington. You got Ben McCollum, coach at Drake, 43 years old, a guy that has done a nice job there. You could see that being a fit. I don't know if the job is too big for him, but we'll see. Greg McDermott from Creighton makes a lot of sense there just because of – now, is he too old at this stage of his career to go and take on that kind of challenge? I don't want to pose that question in a season where Rick Pitino is succeeding, Izzo is succeeding, and it feels like it's 2009.
Seriously. Can I throw you a name?
Please.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
Everybody ready for this? You guys are all paying attention over there? Porter Moser. About Porter Moser, who is not still at Oklahoma? What job did he flirt? He flirted with the DePaul job.
I like that.
His name popped up for DePaul. So
Porter had a tough night last night. Kentucky beat him at the buzzer.
Okay.
Again.
All right, time to move on.
Oklahoma's
then.
A Final Four. Not a Final Four. Last four in. They're on the bubble.
Okay.
He's lived life on the bubble in Norman.
Yeah.
So I'd love that name, Grody.
Right.
You're just teasing me. You didn't see that anywhere.
I didn't. No, I'm just saying, like, just as an idea. And I would like that, too. I wanted Porter Moser to go to DePaul. Remember when his name was linked to DePaul for like a minute?
I remember.
Shut it down. I had finally found. I was like, okay, that guy. Yes, that dude that we all know from Loyola and now Oklahoma.
And Chris Collins is the other name on that list, Dustin, as we finish off the short list for the Indiana Hoosier job. I don't know if that's realistic. There's been some speculation maybe Scott Drew would be added to the mix. Pride of Valparaiso.
Homer Drew's kid.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think that he would have enough reason to leave Baylor.
Probably not. I mean, that's a
he didn't leave
great program.
Baylor for Kentucky. Now, it's different. If you grew up in Indiana, maybe you look at the Indiana job a little bit differently. But
yeah.
I still think Baylor has given him everything that he wants, and he has everything that he needs.
Let's examine Chris Collins a little bit, because we talked about him earlier, and he's in this weird position of he could do what Pat Fitzgerald was seemingly hoping to do, and that's just ride out and be the big fish at the smaller pond at Northwestern, as opposed to going to a bigger program like Michigan. I wonder if Chris Collins feels that same way from here, all those built-in advantages. He could be here for a long time as opposed to going to what is more of a pressure cooker
he
in
could.
Indiana.
And Welsh so. Ryan Arena has become a very difficult place for opponents to play.
Yeah.
But I do think there's some limitations maybe at Northwestern that don't exist at Indiana.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Academic and otherwise.
So it's a
yeah,
program in which you have a chance to go further than Northwestern. That's what Indiana is. Yeah.
By the same token, Chris Collins has a great recruiting class coming in next year.
Oh, he does.
Yes. Phoenix Gill is at the top of it.
Top seven, right?
Top seven in the country. So whatever he is selling at Northwestern, recruits are buying.
Who told you? Did Mark Carmen tell you that? Is that who you found that out from? By the way, yesterday at Hallis Hall was pretty hilarious.
That was a very funny video.
Did you see that video?
I wasn't sure if I should like that or not, but I enjoyed it.
Adam Hogue, who is a huge Wisconsin, well, he went to Wisconsin, on the Bears beat, of course, with CHGO. Carm, huge, crazy,
didn't go to Northwestern,
never had a shot at Northwestern. He loves Northwestern. So these two guys at Hallis Hall are gathered around watching nervously next to each other the Wisconsin-Northwestern game yesterday at the Hall. If you're really into it, it's on my Twitter.
And Wisconsin came out on top.
It wasn't really
ever close, right?
Yeah, final score 70-63.
Another tough day for Carm.
In the first half.
Another tough day for Carm.
You and I were texting.
I'm sorry, Carm. Okay. And good for Hogue. But the Carm is probably not very happy.
But the point is that Northwestern has a good recruiting class. They've made that into a good environment.
That's awesome. Good.
Collins is very he's gotten this program to the NCAA tournament level.
Are we talking about a recruiting class that's going to have them ranked to begin next season? I mean, what are we talking about? Good for Northwestern, good relative to the nation,
relative to the
Big Ten.
It's the top 10 recruiting class in America.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
The US of A.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't hear you correctly.
Yeah. No,
that's awesome. Good
listen,
for
listen to me.
This is a good recruiting class. I am trying, David. David, it's been a long day, okay?
It's 9:15.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Okay.
It's been a long 24 hours.
Come on now.
It's been a wild ride. That's why, as Dustin was giving me crap, I have three drinks here. I got the coffee, I got the Diet Coke, and I got the water.
You've got everything going on over there.
Is that like a seltzer? What's in the can?
Yeah, it's a seltzer. Yeah, this is from Bears.
Our sparkling water.
The Bears are very nice in giving us sparkling water.
Does George McCaskey know that you walked out the door with a can of their...
Hey,
their carbonated water.
Hey, shout out to the Bears. They provided pizza yesterday. So it was.
Ooh,
and that
they went pizza for the second day of the victory lap?
Lou Malnati's, baby. There was Jimmy John's the day before. The Bears were rolling. They're doing it right out there. Man. Not just the players, man. They have fixed the place up. I walked out of there with a polar seltzer water yesterday.
So when the guarantee to. When the guarantee to these free agents it has a decimal point, it's because the extra that's attached to the money that they have to spend on the media now.
Yeah, exactly.
To feed the media.
And a delicious brownie to go with the pizza. So, right.
Is that also available on 1-800-LOO-TO-GO?
It might be. It might be. We deliver to the Bears.
We deliver. All right, so back to the point at hand as we get attacked on the text line. Not attacked.
Oh,
just
no.
A little feedback. That only old people, let's see, here we go. Only old people care about Indiana. Where is this again? The text. Only old people think Indiana needs to be good again. I don't think Indiana needs to be good for college basketball to be relevant. I think college basketball is better when Indiana is good.
You know what I'll compare them to?
There's not a need.
My comp is Alabama football. We grew up, Alabama football was awesome. They went through a long lull. And then when Saban went there, they got great again. And it was cool to have Alabama being great. Still is cool because you just think of football. Same thing with Indiana.
I want to agree with you, but boy, you just described and compared Indiana to a program that dominated college football over the last 20 years.
I know, but they Indiana dominated college basketball similarly to the way...
From 76 to 87.
Yeah, I mean, not to the extent of Alabama. I guess it's an extreme example, yeah. But the point is, like, people, maybe like this texter, they didn't realize how important Alabama was to the landscape of football. Maybe people would realize how important Indiana is.
I like the way you're thinking.
Yeah.
I want to get back to the Cooper Flagg thing when we come back because there's some Bulls implication potentially. But my favorite headline, with apologies to his family, but my favorite headline yesterday was Ben Johnson fired.
Yeah. Not that Ben Johnson. Where's the big voice guy? Mitch, we need Ben Johnson.
Minnesota
fired
Ben Johnson, but we forget it's Minnesota. He was a basketball coach in Minnesota.
Yes.
Ben Johnson fired. That's all I heard in Chicago.
Wasn't there a sprinter named Ben Johnson? I think I asked you that question off the air yesterday as well.
Yes, he was a famous sprinter, Cody.
Yes. Did he get fired?
Come on.
Old people would remember he was from Canada.
He's from Canada.
In the Olympics.
He's Canadian. Well, we don't like Canada, right? Isn't that the thing?
Ben Johnson was a disgraced former sprinter because he juiced up like he was Mark McGuire.
Who
or
didn't
Barry
juice
Bonds.
Up, running?
Aren't most sprinters disgraced former sprinters?
Yeah,
that
who
we
was
know
the
of?
Who was the guy?
Who remembers the non-disgraced former sprinter?
Did Carl Lewis? Did he ever get in trouble?
No,
other
I don't
than
think Carl
his
Lewis
anthem
ever
singing
got nabbed, did he?
No, well, I don't think so.
He's just a bad singer.
And he wasn't as like built up as like Usain Bolt.
Oh,
and
Usain Bolt was a specimen.
Ah, he was.
I covered him. Oh, I saw him win an Olympic medal.
You covered him.
I covered him. I didn't. I mean, not stride for stride.
who, what, where, when, and why? Like
2012 Olympics.
Oh.
2012 Olympics.
Haw Tribune coverage.
I was there.
Look at this guy.
When he won the gold.
That's pretty. Are you the only one at this radio station can say that he covered or she covered? No, Layla.
Layla
covered
the
Olympics. Yes.
She's Miss Hockey.
She is. Yes.
She's talking some pucks.
Layla's in later today?
I'm sure Layla's was in watching last night.
Oh, yeah.
She was watching Celebrini Bedard. She saw Bedard get probably sent to the box for his potty mouth.
I don't think she did.
Oh, no.
Do we want to put money? I don't think Layla stayed up to watch the Blackhawks.
Layla watched at least a period of the Blackhawks
really?
Game last
okay.
night.
I mean, I know she watches everything, but that's a 9:30 start time, Haw. You got to really
maybe
be...
she got up and watched the game.
Oh, that could be. She got that fancy
DVR. We're
going
to run out of time before we get to the Bedard thing, though. I mean, why did he get 10 minutes for a potty mouth?
Have we figured that out yet?
No, we haven't figured that out.
We have not figured that out yet. It's your guy. Come on. Call your son back.
I don't have to worry.
only old people want to know why the Bedard got thrown out of the game.
My son called in the middle of the show.
That was great.
I thought something was up. I'm like, Brandon, something's going on.
No, I could tell. I could tell by the way Dave was talking to him that it was his son because he answers the phone, hey, buddy, what's going on? I'm like, aw.
Well, all my hockey thoughts come from my son.
I know.
He'd be the first to tell you.
He's a diehard.
He doesn't listen. He doesn't watch. He has no idea what my hours are. But he has got all kinds of hockey thoughts.
Are you at work, Dad?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, for the last 10 years.
Okay.
Maybe you and your son should have a Blackhawks podcast like Organizations with Champions.
Oh, there
like
you go.
Bernstein and his son.
There it is.
He would love that.
There it
the
is.
The only problem was, you can swear on a podcast, right? Because my son swears. Like, he cusses a lot.
The Haw's really? On ice.
We quit. Know. By the way, Weeder and I quit swearing on Take the North. We did it a little. When I first started, we did it a little bit, and then we got too many complaints. We're like, we don't need to be swearing in this podcast.
Did you get complaints?
Well, from Dion Miller specifically. She complained to us about.
Bless her.
And
we
love Dion.
We never swore on the Fly the W podcast.
You didn't?
Never.
Did you want? You know, it's hard to because if you start doing that on
it's hard
a podcast,
to what? Not or, it's hard. Swear it, or not
like
swear.
If I really let loose on the podcast and used language, then it would transfer over here because you start to get that comfort in using that language in front of a microphone. Mm-hmm. So that's why I don't like doing it. It's just not necessary.
Okay,
yeah,
I think that's fair.
We did a little bit. Weeder mostly. Yeah.
Weider's got and a potty mouth, right?
Yeah. The guy right there that produces the Take the
North
podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We can't keep him from dropping F-bombs. Just take
and
it easy,
it's interesting that somebody noticed, though.
Yeah.
Because not many people are going to complain
well,
about something
no,
like that.
Well, no,
these days.
Really were. I mean, I'm exaggerating. They weren't like, but how dare you guys
you
swear?
Think I could do a podcast with my son, a hockey podcast?
I think you totally could. Why wouldn't you?
That would be fun.
That would be great because you guys are both like just big fans.
I could
and
just
you
set
both
him
can
up.
Analyze.
He's got two Haws on ice.
Oh, my God. Is this Haw?
All right. I want to ask you a question about Cooper Flagg, which we started the segment trying to get to, but we haven't gotten to yet. But we're going to get to it before we get out of here, and we'll get out of here when we come back, if that makes any sense at all.
Nope.
Grody in from Molly, Molly and Haas, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
I would have to be like convinced by everybody in the locker room when I go back that he should play. You know, it's not worth it. You know, just isn't. And again, I mean, he was swollen already. It's not about being ready to go tomorrow. That's not the most important thing for us. We got to see if we can get him right for this run that we can make in the tournament. But I would have to be really convinced that we should even consider seeing if he can go tomorrow. He may not be able to go anyway. He probably won't be able to go anyway. But I think it's a real long shot. A real long shot.
Welcome back. It's Molly Haas, Chicago Sports Radio. 670 The Score. Mark Grody is the reason we're laughing in here, and it needs to stop.
I'm sorry. Let's be serious.
He's in for Molly.
College basketball. Cooper.
We're
Cooper
going
Flag,
back to college
more
basketball
like
conversation.
Cup.
We're going back to college. Okay.
Get yourself together,
I'm
man.
Seriously. Together. So that was John Shire talking about Cooper Flagg. Cooper Flagg is out with an ankle injury. I doubt that he returns for the college, for the ACC tournament over the weekend, because he left in a wheelchair, and he's obviously the player of the year in the ACC, one of the best players in the country this year as a freshman, and you have to be very careful. The bigger, broader question is, if you were Cooper Flagg's representative, if you were Cooper Flagg's family, if you were somebody looking out for Cooper Flagg's future, would you shut him down? Would you allow him to come back at all? Do you think the risk is worth the reward is worth the risk of having him go back onto the floor? It's a question that I hate even asking, but I think it's out there, and it will continue to be an issue because this is somebody that you have basketball cities, and we live in one right now, willing to sacrifice entire seasons for the chance, less than 10% chance, of drafting Cooper Flagg. His value to the team that drafts him will be significant, and that's understating it. He will mean to his next employer, he will mean to one NBA team, let's put it that way, what Victor Wembanyama means to the San Antonio Spurs. And I think that in that context, you do wonder, will they shut him down?
Yeah. I mean, I think they should. I mean, if I was advising him, as much as I want to see this player, I would definitely shut him down. I would definitely do that because unless he's got some – and what? He's in his freshman year at Duke. It's not like he's built up some sort of long-term bond with the team. Like if he was like in his third or fourth year and he wanted to finish strong at Duke and all that kind of stuff, then good. But I think in this case, you're right. I mean, unless he has the desire to play, then shut it down.
Don't you think he's got the desire to play?
Well
– Don't you think he wants to win a national championship?
He's got the desire to be great in the NBA. Right. He's going to the draft next year, right? I mean, so one and done. I think that Cooper, I don't know this guy, but I would think that the most important thing to him, because there's no way he's built up that much of an attachment to his college team, the most important thing to him is to make the big bucks in the NBA to lead a franchise like Victor Wembanyama, as you just said.
But you're.
I think you're being
you're
selfish here, huh?
I'm not being selfish.
I think you want to see him play because I do too.
I think that to me, if you want to start getting critical here or attacking, you're selfish. Sounding like all you care about is the payoff.
Well, I think that
if you go to Duke and you play
realism.
College basketball and you play all season long, that might be reality in today's day and age. But I don't have to like today's day and age.
No, that's
I
true.
Want somebody in my program that wants to win a national title.
Well, of course,
I want the best player in the country to want to play in the tournament. I want him to be part of March Madness. If March Madness doesn't matter to Cooper Flagg, I guess I understand it, but I do not have to like it.
Is it important to NBA? Teams and general managers and scouts
no,
that he has the
no.
But, no check me out but to,
check,
to,
you out,
check me out Hall to have the desire to do that will they, like you're judging him will they judge him and say oh no we want the guy that wanted to play in college or do they want the fresh
it's
prospect
the right
who
question
healthy?
Of my answer would be sound so old-fashioned and dated that people would mock it because you know what I thought that would be true with Cam Ward checks out of a bowl game in the second half because He already broke his record in the first half. Checks out in the second half. He's still going to be the number one overall pick in the NFL draft.
Right.
I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate that.
People get over it. That's
true. People get over it. They don't care about your personal investment and competitive juices and what it says about you as an athlete. If you want to play in a Final Four and cut down the nets as a national champion, all they care about was, you know, are you going to fit into our team and make us better in the NBA? Because they need talent. It's all about the talent.
Yeah, it is. It is. And especially the way he has been talked about. Same thing with Victor Wembanyama, the way he's getting that generational tag and this is the next can't-miss guy. He reads all that. He absorbs all of that stuff, and I think some of that probably guides him. He knows where the real rewards are, and for better or for worse, that's in the NBA. All that said, I would love to watch this guy play.
I would love to be inside John Shire's head right now and to observe or listen to that mental tug of war.
Yeah.
The devil on his shoulder, the angel on one shoulder, like, yeah, he really, you tell him not to play. Tell him not to play. Yeah. No, you need him. You need him.
Right.
The best thing for his future could be sit out, rest, get it, go into the NBA draft, because all that it matters is your NBA career, the small fortune you're going to amass.
Yeah. And
but the coach in him says, you know what, we got a title to win, and you know how what that would do for my career if you're John Shire winning a national title in your, what, is it third season?
Yeah.
Replacing Coach K?
That's right. Yeah.
It'd be huge.
Second, yeah.
Huge.
Yeah, no, I think it would be huge for him for sure, but I don't know. I think you got to be careful with Cooper Flagg at this point. So,
if you're a Bulls fan, does that give you any pause in what you have done this year? The fragility of any one player is always going to be there. This is a reminder of that. He twisted his ankle and might be out for the tournament. And if you're, so you're, I know that's always the risk. You always have the injury reality, the possibility. But I think Bulls fans probably look at that and the change the way that they view the remainder of the season at all?
Yeah.
Or does it change the way they feel about what's happened to this point?
They're just going
to
keep winning. The Bulls have won four in a row. They're going to be like, oh, all the more reason not to tank for Cooper Flagg. Well, meantime, the team that they played last night, the Nets, are very interesting. Like, the Nets are clearly doing it better. The Nets with that loss, like 22-44. The Bulls crawl closer, 28-38 at this point. So the Nets are doing it a lot better. A 10-point lead heading into the fourth quarter last night. They said, you know what, Bulls? Go ahead and take that. Go ahead and, you know what? Here, Trey Jones, here's 18 points for you in this game. Kevin Huerter, your guy, 18 points and 9 rebounds.
Why is he my guy?
He's your guy.
I think the Huerter, Jones and Zach Collins have been much better than anybody thought.
Zach Collins
last came off the bench.
Yeah,
he was started.
Julian Phillips had a career high 16 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. So, in other words, my point with all this Bulls rambling is you're not going to stop the Bulls right now. They're not going to be close to being.
They're locked into the 10th spot. Yeah. They're not going to get any worse than they are right now.
Are we doing play-in game again this year?
Yeah, they're going to do the play-in game. They're going to do the play-in game.
Ugh.
Why that seemed to bother you?
I don't know.
The Hawks last year played in the play-in game, and they still had the number one overall pick. It's just a roll of the dice.
The Bulls play the Hawks, it's
chance. The difference between 6% and 7.5%, I get the difference mathematically. But you're not dealing with a high percentage that you're going to get the top overall pick or a top four pick. Not if you're 10th. Not if you're 8th. Not if you're 9th. Yeah. You got to really be bad.
Yeah. Is there anybody else in this draft, by the way, this year?
Oh, yeah. Ace Bailey. Okay. Dylan Harper.
Oh, Ace Bailey.
Huh? Dylan Harper. Grody.
Oh.
Ron Harper's son.
Oh, Harp's son. That is cool. Okay.
Harp. Yeah. It's probably a three-person draft before there's a little bit of a drop-off.
Okay.
Some people might say that Ace Bailey is the most athletic player in this draft. I think that discounts Cooper Flagg's ability I don't agree with that opinion, but I've seen it expressed that of the two Rutgers players, Ace Bailey has the highest ceiling, and some people suggest that he might have the highest ceiling of anybody in this draft.
Kendall also said that Ace Bailey he thinks is better than Cooper Flagg too.
Oh, is that the guy he was talking about?
That's who I'm referencing. Yeah, I was trying to. Yeah, Kendall Gill definitely believes that.
Kendall stands by it. He don't mind.
Yeah, okay. That's good.
Another guy, if you're into the Illinois Maryland game tonight,
yeah,
as I'm looking into this a little
bit. Right.
So Derek Queen, power forward, center, 6'10", 250.
That kid is good.
He's a top five, top six pick.
If you're watching Illinois and Maryland, watch that game. That kid is good. He could. He actually. He's ranked right now to fall to the Bulls of where they're at.
I'll be watching on my phone from the Metro tonight.
I think he's also, he was Cooper Flagg's high school teammate, too.
No kidding.
And on this mock that I'm looking at, Jace with a J, Jace Richardson, son of the former Spartan.
Jason Richardson.
Right.
Freshman of the year in the Big Ten, probably, right?
They've got NBA.com has him going number 8 to the Bulls.
Oh, yeah.
See, that would be a difference maker. It's not Cooper Flagg. But you would get a guy that you could.
How many more guards are you going to have on this team?
I don't know.
I mean, yeah, I just want. It'll be interesting to see how they start. Are they going to start?
Are they bringing Trey Jones back?
Are they going to start building around Montez Buzelis? Is that what the Bulls?
He's the foundation.
I mean, yeah. So, like, what do they need relative to him? And I guess Coby White too. Right?
Do you mean Montez Buzelis, who had 7 points last night?
Yeah, 7 points. By the way,
I'm just saying this guy. I understand he's got, but he's got a long way to go.
No, he does. Of course, it's probably a silly question.
Do you think that? Do you, in all honesty, do you think Cooper Flagg will ever have under 10 points in an NBA game if he's playing as a starter?
Under 10 points?
Doubtful. Doubtful.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
He rolls out of bed with 8 points.
I love the confidence in Montez Buzelis, and I respect Kendall as much as any analyst that we have and that I know, because he's played 15 years in the league.
Yeah, there's a little credibility there. Seven's
but,
just not enough.
Yeah, I don't know about that take, but everybody has those moments.
He'll look real good if that's right, though.
Both can be excellent NBA players.
Yeah, that's true.
But the word on Cooper Flagg is that he's just going to be one of these guys that changes the trajectory of one franchise. Maybe it will be Chicago.
Right. He's expected. It'll
be fun.
Being a generational player.
Odds are against it, though. Odds are against it. By the way, I want to give kudos to the texters, because they've had quite a day today. And thank you for the suggestions for the podcast.
The
suggested podcast my son and I are fictionally going to do.
Yeah, we've decided this because, yeah, David's a big hockey guy. His son Blair is a huge hockey guy as well.
847, we're talking hockey.
That's so good. H-A-U-G.
Yeah, H-A-U-G-H, key.
G-H.
Yeah, key. We're talking key. Hockey. Bear. 847, hockey talk.
That's so good. That's so. Would you consider doing it? We can make this happen.
You can make this happen?
Yeah, I could take you back to the podcast center. You remember those days? Due to the ceremonial handing of the Take the North podcast.
Eli
to me.
Involved.
Yeah, yeah, Eli is like, we have to do this ceremonially. Yes. Well, Ryan Porth was a witness.
We were like, if you're wondering what that looked like, do you remember what it looked like when Shota Imanaga and Craig Council were doing that ceremony the other day with the sword? Yeah. That's kind of what we did when we handed over the podcast. It was me and Grody, and Weider had a samurai sword.
Right.
And we had a football, and he just sliced it down the middle.
Sliced it down the middle. This is they told me the responsibility, the unbelievable honor to me that was being bestowed upon me to be taking over for you.
I no longer can, so you take the North.
That is right. You couldn't do it. You were not capable. Something had to change
you
on the show.
You taketh the North and run with it. Grody.
I have failed to take the North. I shall now pass it to Mark
How
Grody.
How did you not taketh the North?
We shall take the North.
I'd like that you guys put in maybe a question mark.
Yeah, we talked about that. Yes.
Take the North?
Maybe?
It's not going to be take the North.
Yeah, one of these days it will be take the North.
You know how I feel? I'm a little sore about the merch thing, though.
Oh, that you weren't? It wasn't on your watch? Well, it was like I said when I signed the contract.
What did I need to do? Was I not good enough?
You should have asked. That's what I said. I said, where's my TTN wristbands? Where's my...
I know Weider is really hard to pin down and do the podcast and all the things with studs, but you know, I tried to make time for the podcast, and I don't get any t-shirt out of the deal.
Well, you know what? Maybe we'll work on... I tell you what, I'll make a trade with you. You give me some Flag and Anthem. I will hook you up with some Take the North material. You want the shoes? You want the shirt? We have washcloths.
You don't have shoes.
The TTN washcloths. So
they don't call them washcloths anymore.
They
Brody.
Don't? What no. are they?
Hand towels.
Oh, hand towels. Oh, there's no such hand thing towels. As washcloths
I don't
anymore.
Know.
Is that an old term?
Don't get me laughing.
Get a worse
I will not laugh.
Unlock me!
All right, we got to get out of here before I do laugh too much. Layla is here. She's in for Marshall Harris, who did a terrific job. He's on the air right now somewhere. He's doing a high school basketball State Finals in Champaign, and he was terrific last night. If you missed it on the U, you want to check it out this weekend. He will be there with Kenny McReynolds and company, but they're doing all the high school games. So Layla is here. Dan is here. Transition is next. It's Mully and Haas, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Oh, check me out, man.
Unlock me! Unlock me!